أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد أما بعد. This hadith today is especially for the youngsters, the newer generation, and it's very important for us to reflect upon where we are in our personal and financial lives and what type of decisions we are making and how they will impact us, not only in our dunya, but more importantly, how they will impact us in our grave and also on the day of Qiyamah. One of the biggest problems in the newest generations is that, especially the millennials, is that we generally live beyond our means, beyond our capacity, and we do spend excessively and unnecessarily. And the majority of the things that we have, rather the things that we own, are based on finances. So we finance our cars, we finance even things within our homes, whether it be a sofa or a TV or a console. From the smallest of things to the largest of the things, we are always taking debt and debt upon debt upon debt to finance this type of luxury lifestyle, which is not sustainable. And the average citizen here in the UK, even though they may not be working and they may not have actually borrowed much in their lifetime, but the average citizen here in the UK already owes about 60 to 70,000 pounds, because this is how the economy works. The government is taking loans, people are taking loans, and that is spread across the board to all of those people. So we need to really take a step back and ask ourselves, where are we in our lives with our debts? Because debts are something that we cannot escape, especially the debts of the dunya. The HMRC will not let you get away with a penny. Even when you're dead, they'll come after your inheritance, and they call it inheritance tax. So whether you're alive, whether you're dead, you won't get away with it. Neither will the utility companies let you get away with anything, or the council if they get their way with ULEZ or everything else. They're all after you for some money. And we have some form of debt to pay to society and the community that we live in. So first and foremost, we really need to get in control of how we spend our lives and how we finance our lives. And that also includes the youngsters going to universities and then accruing debt upon debt. By the time they finish university, even though they may or may not necessarily get a job, and the way that situation is very difficult to get a job these days, but before they even get a job, they're already 30, 40,000 perhaps more in debt. And then that debt will continue for a very, very long period of time. So there's so many factors that we need to consider, as well as the debt that we take on for our mortgages and also other external properties and businesses, etc. But the reason why I wanted to talk about this particular topic tonight is because we also have religious debts that we all owe. We have the debt of fitrana, which is due upon every single individual who is a Muslim, whether they are fasting or not fasting. Every single Muslim within the household, within the home, needs to pay the fitrana before the day of Eid al-Fitr. And this is not forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal. It needs to be paid. And it is a debt that you owe to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to account for this particular debt. There's also the debt of zakat that we have to give once a year, 2.5%. And whether we knew or did not know we were practicing or not practicing, once we realize that we actually were due to give zakat, then all of those years that we have not given zakat, we must calculate to the best of our abilities, go through all of our documents to calculate the debt that we owe, and we must pay that in full to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's no way to escape the collection from Allah azza wa jal on the day of Qiyamah. But coming on to the debt of the dunya and how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam emphasized this particular element and the importance of this. Once the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was sitting amongst the Sahaba ikram, as was his norm, and then he suddenly put his hand on his forehead. Generally, when we are, you know, very parishan, very upset or very stressed, that's the time where we either, you know, put both of our hands on top of our head, or generally we put our hands on our forehead and we go into this deep thinking like it's something very, very substantial and very, very serious. So for the Prophet ﷺ to do this, we know immediately that this is something extremely serious. So he put his hand, the Sahaba Ikram mentioned, they described, he put his hand on his forehead and he went quiet for some time. And then he only said one Then he said, Subhanallah. He did the tasbih and glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said this particular statement. What a stern. Stern is like a very, very strong, heavily emphasized. What a stern warning that has been revealed tonight by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So immediately the Sahaba ikram, when they saw the expression of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that first he put his hand on his head, and then he's there quiet for a long period of time, and then he comes out with this statement, they were all worried like, Patani unkiyo, see what's going to happen, and what type of warning has come, and whether we're all in trouble, etc. So they've kind of all slowly kind of crept out of the masjid and away from the mehfil to kind of avoid the situation, or because they couldn't process that particular situation at that time. But one of the reasons was because they were worried and they were scared of what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would reveal, and they didn't have the courage to ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So no one asked and they all left. But the following day, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was there again in the masjid, and then the Sahaba ikram, they kind of got the courage to ask the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what was that stern warning that you were mentioning yesterday, and what really made you upset? And this is something which is really profound. You know, it touched me, and this is a hadith that I've come across for the first time in my life as well. And I'm sure it should obviously touch us all. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, by the one who has the soul of Muhammad in his hand, i.e. he's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has every single person's soul in his hand. Whenever he wishes, he can take it at any given moment. But this is to demonstrate the seriousness and the gravity of what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying. This is the, you know, the introduction to what he's about to say. So he's saying, by the one who has the soul, who has my soul in his hand. And then he said that if a shaheed dies in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we all know the martaba, we all know the maqam, the status of a shaheed, a one who has witnessed the truth and the reality, the one who has given his life, not just his belonging and his time and his sacrifice and struggle, no, but he's actually given his life in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, if a shaheed dies in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he comes back to the dunya, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him another opportunity and sends him back to the dunya, and then he lives again, and then he dies again in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Lived a life, died in the way of Allah. Came back, lived again, and then died again solely in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, even though he may die again in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, if he has a debt, he will not enter into the gardens of paradise until that debt is paid. This is no ordinary man. It's not talking about a Muslim, not talking about a person who prays his salah, who gives all of the other things, who does as much as he can. No. It's talking about a shaheed, one of the highest levels in daraja, that even if this shaheed were to be martyred in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then come again and be martyred, if the shaheed has a debt, that shaheed will not be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. So just reflect upon this for a moment and ask yourself, how much are we in debt to the dunya? And then we'll come on to how much we are in debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how do we pay our debt to Allah azza wa jal? By our dhikr, by our shukr, by our tawbah, by our istighfar, by standing up in qiyamul layl, by fasting, by zakah, by sadaqat and khairat, by praying our salah, by reading the Qur'an. These are some of the ways of how we pay off our debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the debt of the dunya, they'll never let that go. So this is the Prophet ﷺ saying, even if you are shaheed, debt will not be forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you will not be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. So we take debt generally now. It has become the norm. We take it very, very lightly. Take out one credit card, take out another credit card, max this one out, max that one out, have multiple bank accounts, and then try all of the things just to get the things that we want, not the things that we need. And this is a very big difference between what is necessity and those things which are your khawahishat, those things which are your desires and your wants. And unfortunately, this day and age, we see our youngsters that every year or so, they'll have the latest phone, even though it's not necessary for them to have the latest phone. Every season they'll have the latest clothes, and every season they'll have the newest shoes, and the silliest fads they'll be following. They'll be doing everything to keep up with the modern society, but they are not earning enough to sustain themselves or their luxury lifestyles. And as a result, they either end up doing haram or they end up taking on debt and accruing more and more debt, which is detrimental to them. But they don't realize that health is not guaranteed, life is not guaranteed, none of these things are guaranteed. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who's holding the soul of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his hand, he's equally holding your soul in his hand as well. If he were to take away your soul and you have that debt over your head, where do you think you will be? How will you pay off that debt? You know, even in the inheritance affairs, it's very, very clear that when a person passes away, you have to pay off all of their expenses first for the funeral. And then you have to pay off all the outstanding debts. After you've paid off the expenses and the debts, then whatever remains is then distributed to the heirs. Not before that. First, those people who have their right, take their right, and then the family members take their shares. And we don't realize, we don't even have anything. We don't even prepare for a week or a month or a year in advance. We just think we'll pay the minimum that we need to pay back on this credit card. And we can stretch this. It's always interest free and it's this and it's that. Even though it may be interest free, it's still a debt over your head. If you are dying, if you're going to die, who will pay off that debt? How will you enter into the gardens of paradise? So this hadith carries on to another particular hadith which is even more profound. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam once was called by the Sahaba ikram, who said that one of the Sahabis, one of the companions, has passed away. So naturally, they would always inform the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, i.e. request him to come and pray over that individual, that Sahabi who's seen the Prophet, who's lived with the Prophet, who's seen the revelation descend down onto the heart of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Dying and all of the things with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walked with him and traveled with him and so many other things. That particular Sahabi, try to imagine that the Prophet alaihi wasallam goes towards the janazah, where they pray the janazah, and then before he is about to perform the janazah on that Sahabi, he asks a very simple question: thus, does this individual have any outstanding debt? Does this individual have any outstanding debt? And the Sahaba ikram, they all replied and they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, he has 2 dinar. How many? 2. Not 20, not 200, not 2,000, not 20,000. How much? 2 dinar. 2 dinar is not a substantial amount. Imagine you had 20 pounds debt on your head, or 200 pounds. Would you consider that to be a huge amount? You wouldn't. This day and age, the majority of our children have 30, 40,000 pounds and they have no fear whatsoever. Khairah. They kid us, he will pay it off whenever we can. They don't care. Just 2 dinars he had outstanding. And you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? Then he said, all of you, you go and pray the janazah over this individual. He excused himself. He recused himself. He said, you go and pray over this individual. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he knows his Sahabi, he knows he's a Muslim, he knows he's a mu'min, he knows he's his ghulam and his ummati, but in spite of that he's saying, I will not perform his janazah because he has this debt, you do perform it. And then the Sahab, one Sahabi, his name is Abu Qatada, he said, Ya Rasulullah, because as brothers we always have this care and concern for one another. You have this care and concern. So Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentions, Ya Rasulullah, I take the responsibility for those 2 dinars, I will pay it on his behalf. Only when he took the responsibility, then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam came back and he said, okay, I will perform the janazah. And then he performed the janazah. So we might think the story has ended there, but no, it hasn't. The following day, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam went searching for and bumped into Abu Qatada. And he asked him very straightforward, direct question. Yesterday you promised and you took on the responsibility to pay those 2 dinars. Not 20, not 200, it's 2 dinars. The equivalent today maybe 200 pounds based on obviously, you know, the value of gold. But at that time wasn't it barely 20 pounds. That's what it was, if that. And he asked Abu Qatada, have you paid off that debt? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, it's barely been a day. I've been busy in X, Y, and Z and I haven't been able to pay off his debt. And the Prophet ﷺ again gave him that stern warning. He said, make sure you pay it. Make sure you fulfill that debt. So then the second day came. So one day the janazah took place. Second day he asked, He hadn't been paid yet. And then the third day came. And the third day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bumped into him again and asked him, Abu Qatada, you know, have you paid off the debt? And alhamdulillah, he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I have paid off his debt. And then listen to the following words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's only been how many days since the person's passed away? Two. Just two. But look at the statement of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. He says that now his skin is cool. Which tells us what? Up until that time, that person, that sahabi, who was prayed over by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his skin was hot, i.e. his skin was under azab, was being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because of those two dinars. And because Abu Qatada hadn't paid it off immediately, it took him 2 days and he did pay it off, but when he paid it off, then his skin was cooled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine the debts that we have, the outstanding debts. And imagine if your family members will pay off your debts. And if they don't pay them off for years upon years upon years, or they just forget entirely and say, oh, jaane unda kam jaane sanu ki lage. You know, it's his debt, it's his responsibility. Why should we care? What did he ever leave for us? If this is the state of a sahabi who lived with the Prophet, who was prayed over by the Prophet, but because of two dinars, his entire skin was being tortured or burnt or heated up. And only after those two dinars were paid up, then his skin became cool. And what will be our hal with all of the debts that we take in the name of business, in the name of success, in the name of bigger properties, in the name of the latest cars, in the name of the latest iPhones and the most expensive jewelry and equipment and electronics, in the name of the latest fashion. Every year we have to have the latest clothes, throw away the other clothes and throw away the shoes and have the latest of every single thing. Why are we living beyond our means? Beyond our capacities? Why are we not sufficing with the little that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whatever He has given us, and live within our means? Why are we always stretching and trying to live this luxury lifestyle when we are just travelers here in the dunya? Why are we accumulating so much debt upon our soul, upon our body, that will only become a great burden for us in our graves? This is just two dinars burning up the entire body. Imagine what the £200,000 mortgage that we have, or the £20,000-£30,000 car that we are buying on finance, and the interest that we are paying, and the other things that we are buying just for the sake of buying, or the debts that we take on for the sake of our children, for the sake of holidays, for the sake of enjoyment, or for the sake of just sending them to university so that they can have their degree. What happens when that child dies? Who will pay off that debt? What happened when you die? So all of these things are really, really important for us to consider and ask ourselves, how much are we in debt, and look at the ramifications of us taking on unnecessary debt and then how it will affect us in our graves and also on the day of Qiyamah. But even for debt, taking on a debt, naturally there comes a circumstance or a time in a person's life where you need to take a particular loan for a short period of time. But even then, the Islamic rules are very, very clear. There are three conditions that need to be fulfilled even when you take on a debt. The first particular condition is that you should only borrow it for halal things. Halal things. Not to get an off license. Not to start off a business and then, you know, get a mortgage and then build upon that mortgage and another mortgage and then make a whole portfolio and an empire and say, look how successful I am. What is the source? How did you, you know, start this up? The source is haram, then how will you ever benefit from the fruits of that? So whenever you take on a loan, take on a debt, it must only be for the halal things, first and foremost. Second of all, it must only be for your necessities. What? For your necessities, for your dururiyat, not for your luxuries, not for your furu'at, not for the things that you want, but the things that you need, the things that you need to survive, i.e. your food or your bills or your other things which are absolutely necessary to your survival. Not take on debt upon debt upon debt to live a lifestyle which is beyond our means. Why is this country in so much debt? It's running literally upon debt. Why is it? Because we are living beyond our means all the time, just borrowing and borrowing. This has a huge effect, not just on the body, on the economy, but also on the soul and on the mind as well. So only for halal means can you take on a debt. Only for necessities can you take on a debt. And then the third thing is that you can only take it when you have the complete and true intention to return the money as well. Many of us take on the debt thinking, oh, I'll just get it wiped off. I'll just get it cancelled out. You know, I'll just claim bankruptcy, which is what we do. We open up a company, a limited company, and make all the money that we want, and then say we're bankrupt, and then walk away from it like completely pure and clean, that, oh, I've got nothing to do with this, you know. You can't come and touch me. The company is limited, you know, that's dissolved. I have a, you know, curtain there. It protects me from any ramification. These are the intentions that people take on loans. What happened during COVID? People were claiming all of these government grants. We have this employer, we have this, we have this, we are suffering so much, taking on all that money with no intention to pay it back, with no intention to actually put it onto the people who are actually worthy of that. So only you can take on the debt when you have the full intention to return that debt. And we often go to people who are sakhi, who are rich, and say, Ya Rab, paise de do. And then once we've got the money off them, we say, oh, dekhi javegi, we'll see, you know. He's rich, he doesn't really need the money. What is it? What's £1,000 to this person? You know, he's a very rich person. What will £1,000 do? What will £10,000 do? Or we know that once we've got the money, what will he do? You know, he'll come knock on my door. What will he do? He'll beat me up. What will he do? We know that. Then we become stubborn and arrogant, and we think, yeah, they care just. It's true. People do this with this particular intention. So all of these things, the Sharia is there to safeguard all of humanity, especially Muslims, only for halal means, only for necessities, and only when you have the intention to pay it back. And if you are unable to pay it back, you explicitly give the wasiyah to your children that this is how you need to pay back X, Y, and Z. Many of us hide our debts from our family members, even from our wives, and we live beyond our means. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he gave us this particular dua, which is narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba ikram this particular dua, which I also recite in the dua after salah itself. Allahumma kfina bihalalika an haramika wa aghnina bifadlika amman siwak, which is a very, very beautiful dua. That, O Allah, suffice me with what you have allowed for me, i.e. whatever halal things that you have given me, O Allah, enable me to live within those means and to live a life sufficient within that. But we don't live within our means. This is the major problem. So Allahumma kfini, make it enough and sufficient for me, an hal bi halalika, with whatever you have given me from the halal provisions, an haramik, instead of what you have forbidden from me. What do? We go into the forbidden. We go into interest-bearing loans. We go into shark loans. We go into credit cards. We go into so many things in the name of luxury, in the name of ease, in the name of modernity, in the name of showing off to other people. These are all haram things which are taking you down a very, very dangerous and dark path. So Allah, make it sufficient for me for everything that I need within the halal means that you have provided me, and not for and not anything in the haram way whatsoever. Wa aghnina bifadlika amman siwak, O Allah, make me independent of everything else apart from you. Besides you, Allah, make me only depend upon you, and not just depend on all of these handouts or these debts that I'm accruing within my lifetime. It's very important for us all as youngsters, for the newer generation, to make sure that we live a halal lifestyle, that we live within our means and we only do things which are necessary for us, and make sure that if we do borrow, we make sure that we have the full intention to return. Otherwise, if you die, which we will all die without a doubt, and you have any outstanding debts, dear brothers and sisters, then that will become a great source of azab for you in your grave, until that is not paid in full. If it's not paid, you will continue in that azab until the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah as well, you will have to still pay up that debt. So if this is the debt of the dunya, imagine the debt, the great debt that we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our deen, for our sharia, for the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for the zakat, for the sadaqat, and for so many other things. We will be questioned about all of these things that we owe to Allah Azza wa Jal as well, that we owe to Islam, that we owe to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So live well, live within your means, live within halal means, and always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not go beyond your means, and make sure that you always remember to pay off your debts sooner rather than later, because there's no guarantees in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from the azab-i qabr and from all forms of debt in the dunya. Jazakumullah khairan.